Hey everyone, it's the Sweet Tooth Vegan. Welcome to my podcast. This is episode 37, A Bone to Pick. Now, I can guarantee, maybe 100%, there are people out there that took a look at the title of this episode and are throwing shade or being a little petty. You're a vegan, you shouldn't be saying a bone to pick. But now that I have your attention, I like irony. Now that I have your attention, this episode is for you. I'm going to be sharing a couple of things that I've experienced within the vegan community, specifically in the West, that I find are a turnoff, slightly annoying, and problematic. So this episode is my bone to pick with the vegan community. And if there's any listeners out there that can relate to what I'm saying or have anything to add to this list that I'm about to share, please feel free to contact me via Instagram at thesweettoothvegan_. All right, so let's get into it. First thing that I find is a turnoff within the vegan community is some vegans have this holier-than-thou attitude, we're better than meat eaters attitude, and can come off as very judgmental. So I see this when they make comments or you see certain memes online that basically say or imply that people that eat meat, their morals are lower or standards are lower than people that don't eat meat. And like comments such as, like, you can't love animals and eat them too. I find that this attitude is a turnoff because, like, who are you to say that you're better than someone else because of certain actions? Regarding like our diets, basically. If you are trying to show people the benefits of adopting a vegan lifestyle or a plant-based lifestyle, they're probably not going to listen to you if you have this attitude. So yeah, that's definitely a big turnoff for me. Just relax, people. Relax. Be humble. Just calm down, folks. Calm down. Another thing that I would like to share that is slightly annoying and problematic is the term cruelty-free. The term itself is not problematic. So there's this idea or belief practice in the vegan community, and you see this a lot on like packaged foods and whatnot, or other products such as shampoos, toothpaste, and stuff like that, you'll see cruelty-free. And the idea is that veganism is cruelty-free because no animals are harmed or abused in this lifestyle, which is true to a certain extent, but I would like to challenge that or pose the challenge to be more critical of that statement. I personally don't believe veganism is 100% cruelty-free. And I say this because of migrant workers and the shea butter industry. So I'll kind of explain what I mean by migrant workers. So I know here in Ontario, a lot of workers that, a lot of people that work the farms, for example, tomato farms in Ontario, they come from Jamaica, some Philippine from the Philippines and Indonesia. And these workers that come here to work the farms because there's a shortage of workers. No one in Canada wants to do this job. They come here and they are primarily responsible for all the produce that we see in our grocery stores. And the process of getting that produce to our grocery store is not cruelty-free. And I think that they should be brought in the cruelty-free discussion. I'm going to link this documentary. I forget what it's called right now. I think it's called Migrant Dreams, but it's a great documentary to open up our eyes to the reality of how migrant workers are treated not only in Canada but in the US as well. And so I'm going to link that. And I also had a discussion about this with my friend Sheldamar. He was on a earlier episode. I forget which episode it was, but I'll link that episode too. He's actually the one that brought my attention to that social issue. So that's why I don't personally agree or believe that veganism is cruelty free. It is, but not 100%. So I don't think vegans should boast in this, I guess, gospel, cruelty free gospel, because the way our produce is produced, unless if you have your own farm, your own land, and you plant yourself, our diets, which primarily consist of plants, is not entirely cruelty-free. And same with the shea butter industry. I'm like guaranteed. Just based off of conversations I've had with people, the women in different parts of Africa, this is specifically to Ghana. The women there that, get the shea butter, to these different industries, and so wait, let me try to make sense here. So, from my understanding, the ground workers, the frontline workers of the shea butter industry, are primarily women in Africa, different countries in Africa. I know for sure Ghana is one country, based off of conversations I've had with friends. I can guarantee you the amount of money the industry makes off of their labor, like the amount of like the compensation that they get does not even compare. It's probably not even a fraction or a percent of the money that the industry makes. And to me, that is not cruelty-free. So, yeah, hopefully I'm making sense here and explaining myself properly. But those are the two main reasons why I don't believe veganism is entirely cruelty-free, and that we, as vegans, again, need to calm down and be critical of the perception that we try to give off, and the message that we give off. Another thing, another bone I have to pick with the vegan community is the vegan police. So these are people in the vegan community who are very judgmental, and especially to the newer vegans, and they basically will criticize that you're not vegan enough based on like certain things that they see, I guess, on your social media or that basically like they are, I guess they think that they're like the vegan god, and they, I guess it'll be better if I explain, like, give an example. So, for example, I'll hear the term, or I've had friends in the vegan community that's this has been said to them, you're not vegan enough because you don't talk about animal rights, or you're not vegan enough because you're not an animal rights activist, you're not on the you're not in people's faces showing them these documentaries, these images of what goes on in the slaughterhouses. So don't be calling yourself vegan because you don't care about the animals. I have a f I know of a influencer who actually changed his name, changed his handle, changed his whole branding because of these vegan polices, because of these holier than thou folks that would criticize him, because basically most of his content was like vegan food, and one of the critiques that he constantly got from certain vegans was, you need to be talking about this, not like, you need to be talking about more about animal rights. Who are you? Who are you? Like, everyone has a different reason of why they adopt and come to the vegan lifestyle. Just allow them, relax. There are animal rights activists. They're important. We don't all have to be animal rights activists. Like, everyone has their own little part on this earth to play, and I don't think it's fair for you to be cast that judgment or standard. Another example for me, that's a personal example, is when it comes to certain dairy-free butter products. So the main dairy-free butter I use, well, right now I use Melt, but I used to use Earth Balance. And I remember one time I was at an event vending, selling my treats, and an individual came up to me and was like, what butter replacement do you use? And I told her I use Earth Balance because all the vegan influencers that I watch on YouTube, bakers, cookers, cooks, they use Earth Balance. So that's where I learned about it. And then they went on and said, well, Earth Balance is not vegan. And in my head, I'm like, wait, what? What are you talking about? There's no dairy in it. There's no animal products in it. Explain. And they basically said one of the main ingredients is palm oil. And the way that palm oil is produced or extract, it has caused a lot of the displacement of, I think she said apes or orangutans. I can't remember. So she's like, yeah, it's not vegan because these animals are losing their homes. I thought vegan, from my understanding, the term vegan, like when you look at the history of the guy that turned that. Came up with that term. What's his name? Donald Watson. He basically took like the first 3 letters of vegetarian and the last 2 letters of vegetarian. And basically, vegan was a vegetarian that didn't consume milk or dairy. So I don't know, like, yes, she's entitled to her, I guess, opinion, but like the way that she was coming at me, saying my products are not vegan in like kind of a loud voice, and I was just like really turned off. I'm like, thank you for the information, but don't come at me. Like, I'm trying my best with the resources I have access to. Please don't try to shame me because I use Earth Balance. Thank you for the information, but there's a way, like a respectable way you could bring forth that information. So I don't know how displacement of animals, I could see how it could kind of relate, but I don't see why or how that's defines vegan in my from my understanding of the term vegan. But hey, I'm open to learning more. But yeah, just folks, again, calm down. Everyone's doing the best they can with the resources that they have access to. Just calm down. Everyone's on their own journey. Everyone, you know, just relax. Calm down, folks. Calm down. But I remember that conversation with that person. Inside, I was kind of like boiling up. I'm like, do you really want to talk about displacement right now? I could talk about the displacement of what your people displacing my people, and the displacement of the peoples of this land that we're on right now, if you want to get into that. But I didn't. I just, you know, thank you for the information. I will consider it. So yeah, the whole thing of not being vegan enough. Who made you the standard? Just calm down. Calm down. Another bone that I would like to pick, that I need to pick. This is the last one, is the whole go vegan. Go vegan. Everyone needs to go vegan. Go vegan. Go vegan. Does everyone need to go vegan? Should everyone go vegan? Can everyone go vegan? Like, who are you to make that statement? Sometimes, you know, our intentions aren't bad. The intentions behind those statements aren't bad, but I think people need to be more critical of why they're saying that, who they're saying that to. And as I mentioned earlier in this podcast episode, I did a episode with my friend Sheldamar, and we discussed this question: should everyone go vegan? I will link it in the info box to this episode that you could check out. But the reason why this is kind of a pet peeve is, again, this lifestyle, especially in the West, like, it's not accessible or affordable for some folks. Also check out my episode with YouTuber Just Jen Jen. Episode 18, Dollar Stores and Food Deserts. We talk about that too. And the one with Sheldamar is episode 31. But yeah, I just think that sometimes it's when people say this term or preach it, it could be in a very insensitive way. And it's usually people who have privilege and money, and that are saying it to folks that don't have that same privilege or money. And I don't think that's fair. And one example that I like to use is Canada's Inuit people in the north, specifically the ones in like the far northwest territories. There's stories I've heard of vegan groups going up there, and basically going in and telling them you shouldn't be killing or eating the seals, the whales, and whatnot. You need to go vegan. And I'm like, first of all, there's no vegetation up there. I've never been, but like based off of like research, there's no vegetation up there. And the grocery stores that are up there, the cost of food is insane. Insane. Insane, 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 insane. Like, dang. If you just research how, I don't have the exact numbers, but like just research cost of foods in the North, Canadian North, compared to the cost of foods like in the South of like Canadian South. It's crazy. It is crazy. So, yeah, like for them, I don't judge them. I don't like look down upon them or people that eat animals for survival because it's in a way that's sustainable, and their people have been doing that for centuries. It's, yeah, so I don't throw shade on those people. Especially if that's like their only source of food. Like, who are you? Again, who are you to be telling people like what they should and shouldn't do? First of all, this isn't your land. This is their land. They've known this land longer, way before you and your ancestors. They know what they're doing. Calm down, folks. Calm down. Calm down and be critical. Okay? Be critical of the statements that you are saying and who you are saying them to. Yeah. So those are my turnoffs, my bones to pick, my pet peeves about some of the things that go on within the vegan community. And I want to end off by saying that this movement is important, I believe. It has brought forth important change and made information more available and more accessible. But it's also important to remember that veganism, like the vegan lifestyle, veganism existed way before Donald Watson coined the term. It existed way before colonizers, like colonial societies, systems were set up. It like plant-based living, eating existed way before. Like this is not something new. It is kind of a fad I find in the West. But like indigenous peoples of North America, South America, of Africa, India, China, like our diets historically, primarily before like colonialism, was plant-based, like 90% plant-based, if you look at history. And whenever we did eat animals, it was usually for ceremonial purposes and survival. And we don't like the amount of animals that they ate was less, way less than how much we consume now. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there and conclude with that. Check your privilege, folks. Check your privilege. Calm down. Calm down. yeah, if anyone has, like I said at the beginning, can relate to this topic, this episode, or has anything else they wanted to add to the list, please let me know. I'd love to chat with you. And yeah, that is it for now. If you would like, please follow me on Instagram at the sweet tooth vegan underscore. Don't forget that underscore. My website is thesweettoothvegan.com. And if you would like to order some tasty treats, You could send me a DM and I could hook you up. For the month of September, I'm going to be, for September's variety box, I'm going to be doing cookies. So stay tuned for that. The August variety box, treat box went really well. So my plan is to do it every month. So yeah, stay tuned for that. All right, until next time, take care.